Never, ever in my 2.5 years has it got quiet before I got up here and started talking. What in the world is going on? I guess my authority has begun to assert itself. I'm just intimidating when I walk up here, right? Just kidding. How are you guys today? I'm so glad that everybody came out to worship with us this morning at Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for coming. Thank you for tuning in through Facebook or YouTube or however you're watching. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we would love to have a record of that visit. There are cards in front of you in the pews. If you'd fill one of those out and drop it in the offering box as you leave today. Not a whole lot of announcements to talk about. Next Sunday morning, right after the service, is our monthly business meeting. So keep in mind that. Thank you guys, anybody who came out and shopped, helped at breakfast, helped at the bazaar, anything yesterday. I think overall, yesterday was a success for the Brotherhood and or for the Baptist men and for the WMU, and those respective funds where the mission money goes. So we thank you for that. And just don't forget shoeboxes. To start packing your shoeboxes, and don't forget to sign up if you're interested. Joy come and told me to remind you, so I guess all the spots aren't filled up to go to the packing place. So, we are going to pack some too, and I'll have some more information about that soon. But I think that's it as far as announcements, other than don't forget our Wednesday night services at 6:30 here. They're also online. If you have youth or kids that are going to come, we have something going on for them too. So I look forward to that. But right now, I look forward to worshiping God with you guys. And so you guys just turn your hearts to God this morning, and thank you for being here.
Good morning again. Thank you for being here. Just let you guys know, I got a text message from Sandra today and talked a little bit with Whitey yesterday at the men's breakfast about what was going on with her and Stephen. Those of you that don't know, which I think everybody should know right now, is Sandra, our minister of music, is actually in Durham right now, has been for over a week now. Going through the process of donating bone marrow to her brother Stephen. So what is going on is they have developed a new way of doing this. They don't drill down into the bone and extract it with a needle anymore. She receives shots in her stomach, and they begin to work in your body and actually have the bone marrow seep out of your bone into the bloodstream. And then it is extracted, separated, and the blood goes back in to Sandra, and Stephen gets the bone marrow. But it is very painful. It doubles her over. It is so painful. She says, "My bones hurt." So she is going through that process right now. She said she is homesick. And in her words, she said she was church sick, but she didn't want me to tell you she was church sick. She wanted to say she missed being at church because that sounded better. But tomorrow they're doing the extraction for her. And then Tuesday they will actually do insert or implant the bone marrow into Stephen. And what is going on with him right now is he is going through chemotherapy right now, and it is breaking down and killing his blood cells, and it is getting progressively worse on him. And then once they do the implant for him, it will the new bone marrow will start producing the blood platelets and the blood cells and everything in Stephen, and hopefully that'll give him fresh, clean blood. So as process, so continue to pray for them, pray for the pain that they are going through, and also continue to pray for those that are being affected by COVID. We have a couple of people that are associated with the church one way or the other that are waiting on test results to get back from this past week. And so they are staying quarantined until they get those back. But we have several that are sick with other things, pneumonia. Brenda Dellinger actually has double pneumonia right now, but she is has been tested and came back negative for COVID. But it is affecting her blood sugars and everything else because of being on the antibiotics and just being sick. So continue to pray for them as well. And then to continue to pray for our country and pray for us as a church locally, as well as the church globally. All those that claim Jesus Christ as their Savior, we are going to be tested. We are going to be tried. But one thing remains true is that God is still on his throne. And Jesus Christ is still the Savior of those who ask. So please, at this time, please join me in prayer. Blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you, humbly bowing before the throne. And dear Lord, just the ability to come before you is an extraordinary thing. Dear Lord, we don't have to go to anybody else. We don't have to go through anybody else because of what Christ did on the cross, that we can come directly to you. And dear Lord, right now, we ask you to be with Sandra and Stephen as they are going through this process of donating bone marrow. Dear Lord, I ask you that you ease their pain, that you strengthen their bodies and allow them to recover quickly, and that this transplant will be a 100% success. Dear Lord, I pray for their families. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with those that are sick right now, that are waiting test results for COVID. Dear Lord, they are all feeling rough right now, but I ask you to strengthen their body, that you allow them to breathe normally. And dear Lord, I ask you to protect them. Dear Lord, I praise you for the fact that their faith is in you. Dear Lord, I ask you to be with us as a church, that we will continue to put you first. That we will seek you in everything that we do. And dear Lord, that they may know that we are Christians by our love. That they will know that we serve a risen Savior. And that we will be a lighthouse in our community and in this world. Dear Lord, we pray for our country this morning. Dear Lord, elections do not solve problems, especially the division that we have in our country. But dear Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ, can. He can heal the divisions. He can heal the broken. And dear Lord, we ask that you do that right now. That we as a church will stand strong. That we as a church will show others what the love of Jesus Christ can do in a person's life. And dear Lord, this day as we come together to worship you, that you will take away all the distractions, that you would check our attitudes, you would check our anger, you would check our frustrations, and you would check our fears. so that we can fully concentrate on you and we can listen to what you would have to say to us today. And we give you all the honor and glory for it all. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Would you please stand for the presentation of the colors? You may be seated. As you know, we have several veterans in our congregation. And this coming Wednesday is Veterans Day. So we want to say thank you to those that have served our country and have given sacrificially to protect us and to fight for our freedom. So at this time, if you have served our country in the military, if you would please stand, and our young ladies in uniform will have a gift for you. Thank you, veterans.
Would you stand, please, and join us in our call to worship? And the favorite song is My Country, 'Tis of Thee. It's on page 634.
Tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King.
Thank you. Be seated, please.
I am bothered this morning. I am torn.
We're going to talk about something. And so I want to talk about division. So kids, get your paper out and your pencil. And I'm going to come up here and give you guys a test on division. Betsy is looking at me like I've lost my mind. No, that's not what I want to talk about, division. It is mid-November, and everybody is divided. Do you want turkey or ham for Thanksgiving? Oh, my goodness. So I want you guys to look. So turkey and ham is such a big thing. So if you prefer turkey over ham for Thanksgiving, I want everyone in here, if you do that, I want you to raise your hand. Now, ham people, I want you to look to the people beside of you. Do you love them anyway? But which one do you prefer? So, do you still love... I'm messing with this thing because it about failed. Do you still love the people, turkey people? Do you still love the ham people beside you? Ham people, do you still love the turkey people beside you? Yes, we do. And I want to encourage you all throughout November, even if you go somewhere and they cooked a ham and you really wanted a turkey... Or if they cooked a turkey and really wanted a ham, to love that person anyway. Because God tells us in His Word, in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, He gives us two new commandments. And it's love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And the second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So we can disagree on what we like for Thanksgiving, and we can still love each other. If, like, your favorite cartoon is different than your other person's favorite cartoon, we were talking about Tom and Jerry this morning in Sunday school. Yes, with the youth, I brought up Tom and Jerry. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we like. We can still all get along and love each other. And that's important because that's what God tells us to do. So I want you to remember that. And normally this morning I would have done a Veterans Day sermon. But that was really heavy on my heart because I was really hungry. But the kids, when we go out and line up, we are going to talk about Veterans Day. So right now I'm going to pray and I'm going to meet the kids in the back. So let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for loving us and caring for us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, help us to remember through Thanksgiving, this time of division between turkey and ham, that, Lord, that we love the people who like something else just as equal as we love the people who love the same thing as we do. Lord, I just pray all this in your name and... just thank you for everything, Lord. Amen.
More patriotic songs. This next song is America the Beautiful. I've heard a lot of people sing it. And I'm sort of stuck to a place that feels awful good to me. Don't have to elaborate too much. It's about America and the land we live in and the land we love. So join me, please, if you would, in standing and singing hymn number 630, America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties upon the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Beautiful for patriot's dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleamed undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed His grace on thee
with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
Thank you, and be seated.
Well, everybody knows that we have a son that's serving in the military. Our son Jonathan is in the Navy. And one thing that we have discovered with him being in the Navy is that sometimes there's things that we can't say. We're a member of several groups on Facebook with Navy families. And they have administrators in those groups. And their job is to make sure that we maintain what can be said and what can't be said. And they actually delete posts if something is shared that shouldn't be shared. And it's for the protection of the sailors, as well as their ships, as well as our country. There are things that Jonathan, when we would go see him when he was in school, places that we were not allowed to go. When we actually went on base to see him graduate one of his stages of training, we could go from the parking lot to where the graduation ceremony was, and then we could stand out in front of the building where the graduating ceremony was, and we were not allowed to go anywhere else on that base. There is also a saying, loose lips sink ships. Why is that? Because words are powerful, and words can hurt as well as heal. So today I actually want to show you something that was shared with me this past week, and it really struck home with me because the person that shared it with me knew what I had been preaching about, knew what I had been teaching about on Wednesday nights, and so they shared this that was posted by a friend, and I want to show you this right now. This picture was posted and shared with me. Some of y'all need to stop running around with a mouth full of scripture and a heart full of hate. And I hate to say this, but that is what's going on in our world today. And that's how people are judging us as Christians, that we have a heart full of hate because we disagree with people. That we have a heart full of hate and we want to hit people over the head with the Bible and say, you have to do this, you have to do that. So I want us to look at the fact that those are strong words. What we say is powerful. So what I want us to look at, I want us to look at James chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 2 through 12. So if you're here in the sanctuary with me this morning, if you'd please stand as I read these verses. They will be on the screen, and so those that are watching at home will be able to follow along with us as well if you don't have a Bible there. So this is what James writes. James chapter 3, verses 2 through 12. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their whole body as well. Look at the ships too. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are nevertheless directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot determines. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. So how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire. the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among the body's parts as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds or reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursings. My brothers and sisters, this thing should not be this way. Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or a vine bear figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Let's pray. Blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you so much for what James shares here, for the practical application of what it means to control our words and the importance of watching our mouths and our tongues. Bless this time and speak through me this morning. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If we claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, then we are saying that we are His disciples, those that follow Christ. We are His disciples. And if we are truly disciples of Christ, then our actions and our words need to be proof of our discipleship. So many times, we want to say something while we're here at church, showing people how holy we are, how righteous we are. And then we walk out the doors, and it's like a switch goes off, and we start talking and saying things and talking about people and to people, and nothing we say reflects Jesus Christ whatsoever. We don't get it. We don't get it. How many times you've been sitting in a business meeting, somebody loses their temper in a business meeting? How many times you've seen people show out because they didn't get what they wanted, or they get upset because somebody said something? Anybody ever been stabbed in the back by somebody that you thought highly of? Does that mean that they actually take a knife and stab you in the back with it? No. That means that their words hit you in the back and cut you like a knife. Words are powerful. Even Hebrews, in the Hebrew culture, the word was seen to be alive. That once you spoke it, it became active, it became alive, and it was powerful. Therefore, when John wrote his gospel, and he starts out and he says, "In the beginning was the Word." In their culture, they understood that Jesus being called the Word meant that He was alive, that He was active. And He was active in the very beginning, is active in part of creation. It becomes something that we need to be careful of. Because no matter how you act, your words are going to support that or destroy that. And vice versa. James also says that faith without works is dead. But that's another sermon. We're talking about our words, what we say, how we say it. You know, sadly, many of us as Christians fail miserably when it comes to the point of what we say. But here's the thing that we need to understand is that our words are the indicator of our spiritual health. James shows us here that very pointedly that our speech reveals what kind of Christian we are. Many times people don't think that. They think that because we have the freedom in Christ, that we are able to say and do whatever we want to because we're covered in grace. But Paul says that's not right either. That's not the way it works. And here James gives three illustrations on proving the point of how powerful our words are. Our words have the power to direct. James 3 through 4 says, "Now if we put the bits into a horse's mouth so that we will obey, that they will obey us, we direct their whole body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are nevertheless directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot determines." If you've ever dealt with a horse, that bit is only about this big. And that horse has to be humbled, has to be broken for it to accept that bit in their mouth. And even then, they'll try to keep it out. But once you get that bit in the mouth, you can just tug. Just a little pull, and it'll go whichever way you pull. You don't have to yank hard, just a little bit, because that thing will make them move wherever they want to. Just a little bitty thing. And if you've ever been on a boat, Ginger and I, a couple years ago, went on our very first cruise. Big cruise ship. Was steered all over that ocean, anywhere the captain wanted to go, by a rudder at the very back of the ship. It just turned, and the whole ship would go wherever he turned it to. What James is saying here, that illustration, is that just like our tongue being one of the smallest muscles in our body, it is also one of the strongest muscles in our body. It can direct us anywhere. One's words can direct us and others on the wrong path. You ever heard the term GIGO, garbage in, garbage out? It's a programmer's term back when they were doing a lot of programming when computers first came out. Basically, it says that if you put in garbage, you're going to get garbage out. So you could determine what was put into it because of what you got out of it. The same thing is true for us. What comes out of our mouth shows people what's been put into us and what is inside of us. So if you are claiming to have Christ in you, but what comes out of your mouth is not Christian or all or not Christ-like at all, guess what that's proving to people? That you really don't have Christ in you. Because what's coming out of your mouth tells them a totally different story than what you're saying. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Basically, those that love talking, those that love to spout out at the mouth, they're going to get back what they're producing. But here's an interesting thing about our words. The right word may direct someone out of sin and into salvation. We can influence by our words. We can influence and turn people away from Christ. But at the same time, we can also influence and draw somebody toward Christ, which is what we're commanded to do in the first place. Our words also have the power to destroy. Look at verses 5 through 8. So as the tongue is a smaller part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things, see how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our bodies as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the courses of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds or reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Our words can destroy like a fire and kill like a poison. But here's the thing. Sometimes we say things. And we say things that are hurtful, or we say things that are off color, and then what do we say? Oh, I'm just kidding. I don't really mean that. I'm just joking. But what we have to realize is that sometimes what is said is actually what is meant. Look at Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 and 35. It says, "You offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, express any good things? For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. The good person brings out of his good treasure good things, and the evil person brings out of his evil treasure evil things." Jesus says, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What is most important to you is where your heart's going to be. And if you are talking and you're saying things, it's going to show somebody where your heart is. But just as our words can destroy somebody, our words can also burn away what is keeping someone from Christ, or it can be spiritual medicine. It can bring about healing. The right words can bring about healing. It can draw people to Christ. Proverbs 12:18 says this, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." We need to be careful what we say. And then finally, our words have the power to delight. 9 through 12 of James chapter 3 says this, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursings. My brother and sister, these things should not be this way. Does a spring send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or a vine bear figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." Our words cannot be both blessings and cursings. There's no way. Springs cannot give both fresh and salt water. It's impossible. Trees cannot bear two different types of fruit. Now you can say, "Wait a second, we can splice and have two different things come off." But is that natural? No. It has been manipulated. And I'm going to tell you something. We get manipulated all the time by Satan. He wants us to think that people can speak blessings and cursings out of the same mouth, and it's okay. But church, it's not okay. You can't serve two masters. It can't happen. It is impossible for it to happen. What comes out of your mouth is going to reflect what is going on in the inside. And right now in our society, what is going on is that Christians are being judged. Those that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ are being judged because what's coming out of their mouth and what they say they believe in don't match up. That's point blank. It is easy to sit in front of a computer screen and type stuff. But when one post says, I am so thankful for the saving grace of Jesus Christ and I wish everybody would just accept Him, and then the next minute you're calling people a piece of excrement, it doesn't match up. Which one is it? Are you thankful that Jesus Christ saved you and you wish everybody would be able to accept Christ as their Savior? Or are you really thinking that that person is a piece of excrement? You cannot have hate in your heart for your brothers. People that are made in the image of God. You can't curse them and then bless your Savior at the same time, in the same mouth, in the same breath. It is impossible. What that post was saying is that our walk needs to match our talk. Simple as that. Yes, our country is in a mess. Either way this election went, our country was not going to be healed. Because too many people, including those that say they follow Jesus Christ as their Savior, are putting their trust and hope in politicians, in men. But the only thing that is going to heal the division in our country is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's going to take Christians to stop being posers and fakes and become real disciples of Jesus Christ. And that is turning everything over to our Lord and Savior and totally submersing ourselves in Him. And letting Him change us from the inside out. James, I love the way James starts this passage. He said, we all mess up. We all say things we shouldn't say. And that is the truth. But in the eternal balance of things, our words have such a significant importance. There are people that have actually said, there is no way in the world that I would want to be a Christian with the way that Christians are talking and acting. That right there should tell you something, church. That we are failing to do what God has called us to do. That we are not building the kingdom of Christ. We are not making more disciples. Am I saying that there is a time that we should just lay down and give up and not say, no, I am not saying that at all. Because we sing as children, I'm in the Lord's army. But Jesus says, my way of fighting is totally different. We have a battle to fight. We have to put on the armor of God to fight this battle. But we follow our commander who is God Almighty. And he says that if I am for you, no one can stand against you. It is time for us as Christians and the church to put up or shut up. And that is the truth. Our society needs to see people totally sold out to Jesus Christ. Our country needs to see people totally sold out for Jesus Christ. And we need to let our words as well as our actions demonstrate what the power of Jesus Christ can do to a life that allows Him to do so. We need to stop talking so much. We need to spend time listening. We need to spend time praying. You know, this morning, this past Wednesday night, we shared that one of the steps to becoming a disciple of Christ or a true disciple of Jesus is to listen. He says that my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Well, this morning, Charles Stanley was preaching about knowing the will of God. And he goes, how do you learn the will of God? You learn the will of God by listening to Him. By listening. If you listen, He will share with you. He will demonstrate His will to you if you just shut up and listen. And then he goes on, he says, how do you learn to listen? And this was great. You learn to listen by not listening in the first place and facing the consequences of not listening. And you think about that. How do you teach your children to listen to what you tell them? By them facing the consequences of them not listening to you. You listen, you get to do this. You don't listen, you're getting punished. It's as simple as that. God's the same way when we listen to Him. He will be with us in doing whatever it is that He is telling us to do. But if we don't listen to Him, God's not going to be in it. That's the basic definition of sin, is doing what I want instead of what God wants. That is the definition of sin. Missing the target. And church, we miss the target in some of the things that we say. Everything that we say, church, should draw people to Jesus Christ. It should help heal brokenness. But we have allowed culture. We have allowed anger. We have allowed hate. We have allowed fear to influence what we say and what we do to the point where we can't be disciples of Christ the way we're doing it. There has got to be a change in us. We have got too comfortable and just riding along. But if you read the Bible and read the stories in the Bible about those that followed Him and those that He used, it was anything but comfortable for them. He put them in situations where their lives were in danger. He put them in situations where they didn't know what they were going to have to do. He put them in situations where all they had to hold on to was Him. And He accomplished what He wanted accomplished because they were just willing to follow Him and trust Him. It never tells us that it's going to be easy. He never tells us that it's going to be smooth. He never tells us everything's going to go the way we want it. But He does say, Trust me. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And if anybody stands against you, if I'm with you, they will not succeed. Church, it's time for us to be who He has called us to be. It is time for us to put our whole trust in Him and follow where He is leading regardless of the cost. Now, this is your chance. We're going to sing one verse, and this is your chance to listen to what God is saying to you. If it's okay, Joanne, can you just play? I just want you guys to stand. I didn't want you to sing. I just want you to listen to what God is telling you. And Joanne, just play through one verse. Okay, if you'd please stand. Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you for joining us online, those of you that have joined us online. And don't forget that Wednesday night we will be having Bible study 6:30 here in the sanctuary, as well as youth Bible study in the building. And don't forget, Wednesday is Veterans Day. Again, thank you, veterans, for everything that you have done for us. Thank you for your sacrifices. Thank you for your willingness to serve others. And thank you, ladies, for joining us from Crest ROTC and presenting our colors today. And at this time, if you would please join me in prayer as we dismiss. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you are doing in our lives, dear Lord. Continue to convict us, continue to mold us and shape us to make us into your image. Dear Lord, don't let go of us. Don't give up on us. And you promise that you will not. Dear Lord, may we be your lighthouse. May we point others to you in everything that we do, everything that we say. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for stretching us and challenging us so that our faith will grow. Be with us as we go from this place. Continue to be with Sandra and Stephen as they prepare to do the transplant in the next 2 days. And be with those that are sick, dear Lord, awaiting test results. And dear Lord, as we leave this place, may we be your disciples. May we be your light in our community. And it's in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Thank you.